epiphany, a manifestation, a shining forth, a radiance, a splendor, a manifestation of power and glory. It seems fitting, and I have to show a remarkable amount of restraint to withhold speaking about Notre Dame after this manifestation, this revelation of power this past week as they advanced to the semifinals and the playoffs. But I'll hold out for a few more weeks yet, hopefully. Many years ago, as some of you know, I went to seminary college in Conception in the middle of nowhere in Missouri. There were some close friends, friendship, one of the greatest gifts of life, companions along the way. They were very much a keeper of tenderness of my heart in that time, as we all have surrounded in our lives a cloud of witnesses. And this couple had a small cottage, about a 10-minute walk, and today, yesterday evening, has reminded me very much of many walks that I had across the cemetery, about 10 minutes, bundled up, yes, through snow and ice many nights, and seeing the brilliant stars out in the middle of nowhere, a very dark country environment, and the stars shine very brightly and uniquely in that atmosphere. And on this little cottage, they had a light, a little lantern on the doorstep, as all of us do. And the motto always was, as I was leaving, was the light's always on. And it always was. The door was open, or at least they told me where the key was to get into the house. But the light was always on. And I would go into this beautiful little cottage that very much felt like the Shire, except that it was real. But it was very warm. You walked in a warm place, wooden floors, a fireplace, a hearth that warmed the whole house because of its intimacy, its closeness, its smallness. Wooden floors, an oblong living room, and just beyond that was a dining room, very small, very small. It didn't fit much more than the wooden table, and normally four chairs, wooden chairs. Many evenings I spent around that table, wonderfully warming my heart, renewing me, encouraging me, filling me with joy. Reason to sing. But just beyond that room, that dining room that fit four at the table, around the wooden table, a place of intimacy, familiarity, of laughter, of life being shared, bread being broken together, was the kitchen. Not remarkable or hard to imagine. But just past the threshold of where a guest or a stranger might be seated at the table or in the living room was the intimacy of the kitchen. As I walked through the first time, I stood in awe and wonder, something being revealed, manifested, showing forth, something being made known and given. And all across and around the door on the inside of the kitchen, invisible to all of the guests and strangers, but revealed, manifested, made known to the friend, were little sticky notes that they had made for each other each and every single day. Most of the time saying nothing significant other than have a good day, we'll see you at 4, or whatever it might be. Sometimes there might be a little to-do list, but expressions of their affection and love, surfacely. And so plastered over the entire wall were sticky notes of random colors as the pads changed, but a wall completely covered. I have no idea how they were able to tell which note was the new one of the day, but I suppose love allows you to be attentive to those things, to those revelations of the heart, to those things shining forth, being expressed, being revealed, being manifested, being given. Love is attentive to those things. And as I stood in awe and wonder at this manifestation, this little token of their affection as a married couple over the years of their life, their own struggles as we all have, that love undergirding it all, that little thread of their intimacy that I got to witness, that was revealed to me, manifested to me, shown forth to me radiantly. I stood in wonder and awe looking at those sticky notes. And just to the left was their refrigerator. And on it read a little quote from Vincent van Gogh. And yes, we could legitimately debate the truth of this statement, but the sentiment is quite beautiful. As for my part, I know nothing with any certainty, except the sight of stars makes me dream. A beautiful sentiment. And of course, that sentiment welled up in my heart and mind as I walked through those cold nights, the brilliant stars shining. And here we are, my brothers and sisters, on this feast of the Epiphany, the stargazers, those who stood in awe and wonder, in admiration and humility. We have airplanes and spaceships and rockets and all types of things that enter the orbit. But for the people at the time, they recognized that space was God's domain. And so, of course, they watch the stars in awe and wonder, in beauty, in glory untold, infinitely expanding, surrounding them, and giving them light and guidance, a reference point, a way to navigate throughout their life, as do sailors. They recognize in the stars something by which they can orient themselves. And they stood and watched these stars in wonder and in awe, recognizing that in them the gears of heaven were turning. And they could see the divine initiative making its way across the heavens and descending upon the earth. And so they saw the star at its rising. That is to say, the weakest and most fragile point of its visibility on the horizon. They noticed it at that point out of love and awe and wonder and attentiveness. They were attentive to these manifestations and revelations of the celestial realm, of the heavenly realm. And so they arose and they went out to do him homage. But those aren't the only ones that we're told about doing homage in this story of the Epiphany, at the revelation of this star, this manifestation, this shining forth, this making known, this revelation. Herod, we're told, wanted to go out and do him homage. But there are remarkable differences between the sentiment of Herod in his awe and wonder and admiration and these magi who got up and saw the star at its rising and went out to do him homage. We're told they were filled with joy, the magi were. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. They were overjoyed because they recognized that it spoke to something inside of them. Herod, on the contrary, was filled with great terror, great fear. We hear this. He was greatly disturbed. Yes, the Magi were disturbed too, but in the way that only love can do, with stirrings and kindlings of hope, a promise of beauty and peace and joy. This is what welled up inside of them as they stood in awe and wonder, this recognition of this star that was shining forth, being revealed, being manifested. But for Herod, filled with great fear and tribulation, and for good reason, because the powers of the world and the powers of hell were beginning to crumble apart and turned into dust and ashes. And so the Magi recognize this light arising from afar, and they go out to do him homage. And upon finding the child in the home, they find the Christ child in the arms of the Blessed Mother, with his mother and stepfather there, Joseph, being the custodian of this greatest treasures of heaven. The greatest treasures of heaven opened up. They prostrate themselves. This, my brothers and sisters, is a profound difference between Herod and the Magi. Herod attempted, as did Adam and Eve, to seize for themselves, to control, to regulate, to be efficient, to be secure, to prove a certain outcome, as did the awful things that he did in pursuit of this great fear that he continued to act upon and wallowed in. But the Magi prostrated themselves. And when they got up, they opened up their treasures and offered gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for a king. And yes, he is the King of Kings. He is all powerful despite being so little, perhaps because of it. Frankincense to offer in worship to God, as is used in the temple. And he is the Lord in the flesh, God made flesh and born into the world, revealed, manifested, expressed through the womb of the Blessed Mother, through her fruitful virginal motherhood. Beautiful. Revealed, given, shining forth radiantly, and myrrh for burial. And yes, he was to die and to offer himself, opening up his treasury of divine love to pour forth upon the world. My brothers and sisters, on this beautiful day, this feast of Epiphany, this shining forth, let us recognize, as did the Magi, that this day has far less to do with a mere light far off in the distance than the fire concealed in the heart of the infant. Let our hearts throb and overflow on this feast as in every single moment in recognition of his treasury opened forth for us, pierced open with the lance, pouring forth blood and water, mercy, mercy, mercy upon the world, peace and hope and joy. Let our hearts too throb and overflow and not tremble in fear as did Herod, but fall prostrate before the great King, the loving King, that gives us in this joy great reason to sing, even well into the night.